Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to The Sportive. We are back. We've had a run of vacations. There have been a lot of youth sports going on at every level. There have been kids home from college. There has been just general incompetence. And so we haven't recorded a podcast for a month. But now, today, we're back. And I'm John Marthaler. The way that we decided to figure this out, or I suggested we figure it out, is instead of trying to get multiple of us, we're just going to do like two at a time. So tonight, with me is Chicken Finger. I almost said Clarence Swamptown, but it's not Clarence Swamptown. Clarence Swamptown is dead. Chicken Finger 69, our good friend Chicken, is here with me. How are you doing, Chicken?
I am fantastic. How are you?
It is much harder. We have an actual Zoom going. I can see you right now, and I got to tell you, it's much harder to call you Chicken to your face.
Mm-hmm.
It just is entirely something different. So one of the good things about not recording
you never have any problem calling me a piece of shit to my face, but Chicken? Bridge too far.
It's hard. I see the actual person, and it's a hard thing to do.
Humanizing.
It's too humanizing. It's like it's the opposite of the Stanford Prison Experiment.
It's not a cartoon and it's not a caricature. I get it.
One of the benefits, maybe the only benefit of not recording a podcast for a month, is that we got a whole month's worth of sports talk built up, and at least in terms of this conversation, we can talk hockey a little bit because I think I'm finally calmed down from the Wild's latest playoff exit. I was on Mike Rand's podcast last week. Go listen, everybody, because it was about soccer, and I need Mike to believe that he needs to talk about soccer on the podcast because I want to hear it. But at the end of the podcast, I said something like the Wild have killed all our dreams, or the Wild have make us believe, just very nihilistic. The Wild make us believe in nothing. There is no God because of the Minnesota Wild, that sort of thing. And I think I finally calmed down a little bit, but just to recap, the Wild went out in the first round again. That's 13 playoff appearances for the Wild in their history, 10 first round exit. They've made the postseason. We got to say postseason because we're still not sure if that 2020 thing, where they lost counts.
The bubble. Yeah.
They weren't in the playoffs, but they were in the postseason. Anyway, they made the postseason 7 out of the last 8 years. They've lost in the first, they've lost every one of those series. Most of them, I think one of them's gone to a game 7. They had a game 7 against Vegas last year, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just been a Timberwolves level of incompetence, really. And I can think of no more insulting thing to say about that. So, I do want to talk about the Wild, and I want to talk a little bit about sort of the future of the Wild.
Sure.
Because it's not, obviously we can look back at the Wild and talk about how bad they were and how they did it again, but it really feels to me, and I'm going to see if you agree. I'm going to talk about some of the reasons that they're potentially screwed, and I want you to tell me whether I'm right or wrong, because I'm worried about the future right now. So okay. Reason number one.
Well, hold on. I need a clear definition of what screwed means, or will I gain that clarity through the questions?
Listen, it's me talking about hockey. There's no chance, and I mean no chance, you're going to gain any clarity the longer I talk about it.
What does screwed mean?
That they are not going to make another run to the playoffs / losing in the first round again. next
year. Oh, okay. There's, got it. Okay. There, that kind of nuts.
There's a number of things. Not only did they lose in the first round again, there's a number of things that I think are going to keep them in this rut. And there's no hockey team that is in more of an overall rut than the Minnesota Wild, with the possible, and I say possible, exception of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. But other than the Maple Leafs, there's no other team. The Wild are the same every year. They make the playoffs and they lose in the first round. They're the 14th best team in the league every single season. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to present to you some possible reasons that they are either as screwed as they currently are or more screwed for the future. And I want you to tell me whether I'm crazy or not.
All right.
Reason number one, they're going to have trouble signing 23 guys to next year's roster and still stay under the salary cap. What are the numbers? I looked up the actual numbers here. They have 15 guys signed and they have $8 million of cap space left.
Yeah.
Which means they got to sign. They had, 26 guys this year. So they basically got to have 9 or 10 guys playing on the league minimum next year.
Well, like Faber will take Dumba's spot. That's a $9 million in the plus column. I think that's already been accounted for in your numbers, though. I can't believe I'm going to have to play this role, but agreeing with you doesn't make for very good podcasts.
Well, I mean,
so not that we're after being good. Maybe I don't think that's anything.
We've never tried to be good. I want to know the truth. I'm telling you that I don't know the answers here.
I think this predicament could provide an opportunity for them to shed and really look hard at some contracts and some, not just contracts, but players that maybe in other circumstances they would be more likely to hold on to, even though they shouldn't. Okay. For example, like Foligno.
Okay. Foligno's a good example, I think.
I can't imagine if they weren't in this hard of a predicament that's a player that they would really look hard at getting rid of. Locker room guy, all the cliches that they're going to throw at you, but is what he provides really something that cannot be provided by Brandon Duhaime?
Well,
who has a ceiling that's
unmet
yet. I'm not saying he is as good right now, but he's far younger. And could he be that? Could he provide the same production, which was minimal this season? Could he? Foligno didn't provide much this year.
The problem with Foligno was he had a couple of years straight where he shot 25% or something like that. And so when you're signing the Foligno who scores 25 goals a year, you're saying, wow, this is a guy that really is bringing a lot, and he's part of this line with Erickson Ek and Jordan Greenway that's
unsustainable.
This big physical best defensive line in hockey. Now Greenway's been traded, Erickson Ek was hurt in the playoffs, but Foligno scored what, 8 goals this year, 9 goals this year,
and they did play together for a period this year. I mean, for not just an insubstantial, an insignificant time this season, they played together and they didn't do much. So I wonder
we even talked about it on this podcast, and if it made it to me talking about it on this podcast, that everyone was talking about how Foligno could not continue to score 20 goals a season, that it just wasn't going to happen.
Well, and this is not to say that the cap crunch is a good thing. It's not. They'd be far better off without it. But I guess my overall point is it could cause them to promote younger players at a quicker pace than this regime has felt comfortable doing, and I'm not convinced that's a bad thing circumstance.
I want to throw out another guy that seems like a potential candidate to dump. Would you dump Matt Zuccarello?
Yeah,
not only based on his contract, but also knowing that apparently he's like best buddies with Kaprizov. Would you still dump Zuccarello, even though he's getting paid $6 million to disappear for half of every season?
What, he is an unrestricted free agent after this year? I am making that up. I think that's right, though.
He's a free agent after 24. Right, so after this is his last season under contract.
When I say this year, I mean this upcoming year.
Yeah, this upcoming year.
He strikes me as somebody who there would be no market for to dump.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about dumping a lot of these guys.
Yeah, but so there's two things. He strikes me as a guy where if you try to dump him, I don't know who you dump him to, because nobody's going to take him. And he also he strikes me as a guy who will take a significant discount this offseason for probably a longer term than we're comfortable with, but it'll be a Goudreau type. I don't think it'll be that long a term. It won't be 5 years, but it'll be like two times three or something silly just to remain with his buddy.
Right.
Kirill. While I agree, I don't think there's a market for him, and he might as well keep him around and then take that significant discount.
All right. Let me throw out another name, Ryan Reeves, who
won't be back.
He's an unrestricted free agent, but they keep talking about how they want him back. He doesn't score goals.
No. That post-game press conference, his comment, he's going to try to scratch out every dollar he can before his career is over. That was the death knell. Then he's gone. Because if they were gonna bring him back, they were gonna ask him to take a discount, and he's essentially firing a warning shot saying, "Don't even come ask for a discount. I'm not taking it. I'm trying to get every dollar I can." So he's gone.
Bringing up Reeves, this is another thing I wanted to do. I wanted to read you some Bill Guerin quotes and see if any of them made you mad. I know you love Bill Guerin. I love Bill Guerin too.
I do too.
Right?
I think
he's done a great job. But
I think I know the quote.
Some of his quotes have rubbed me the wrong way in the aftermath. All right. Here's the quote. He was talking about Ryan Reeves, and he was talking about what he brings. And what he said was, if you're the best in the league at something, you're elite in that role. And he's elite in that role. What is Ryan Reeves the best in the league at? Not getting in fights?
Mm-hmm. he did not. So to a person, they say that the energy that he brings has significant value.
Right.
I'm not in the room. And neither of us have played at that level. It doesn't seem like that energy couldn't be brought by somebody who, contributes a little bit more than Ryan Reeves does.
Knows whether he's left-handed or right-handed.
Yeah, I mean, Reeves is remarkably skilled for his size. The guy is a building. But
I do want to say that I really like Ryan Reeves. I like that he was on the Wild. He seems like he's a fun guy to have around. And I liked him being on the Wild, but I'm not sure if I'm the GM, if I like him at $1.5 million a year or whatever.
He's not coming back. No, they took him because they had some cap room just this year. No, he's not coming back again. And it's funny because right now that's okay. Brandon Duhaime, that's going to be his role. Like, who's going to be the guy that goes out there and fights other people? It's going to have to be him because he doesn't make any money and he's here and he's controlled. So there's nobody else.
Available and yet expendable.
That's right.
All right. So beyond the cap constraints, here's another thing. Here's a thing that I'm actually particularly worried about with the Wild.
Okay.
One of the things that the Wild have in their back pockets is that pretty much everyone seems to agree that they have the most stocked farm system in all of the NHL. They have better young prospects. They have more young prospects. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of ways, it seems like this cap crunch stuff was not only to get Suter and Parise out of the room and off the team, but also to try to aim towards this potential future where they've got two more years of cap hell next season and the season after, or this season and the season after that. And then they're going to have some room. And in a lot of ways, it seems a little bit predicated on we're going to have a lot of young guys coming through now that we can get for cheap for a few years and then only pay them. But here's the problem. They have a ton of this young raw talent. They just fired, I think during the playoff series, they fired their AHL coach, Tim Army. He's been around for 5 years or something like that. So obviously they have no faith in what's going on at Iowa, and they have absolutely no history of developing young guys. They got Marco Rossi, who they played for 6 games, blamed him for everything, sent him back to Iowa for the rest of the year. They have Kalen Addison, who was good on the power play and bad in other situations, and they just buried him down the stretch. Those were the first two of this prospect pool that are coming through. Addison was the guy who came over in the Zucker trade. Rossi was the number 9 pick a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Rossi is in a weird situation because he had horrible long COVID for a while, and so he sort of missed a year of development, but still, he was a young guy, a cheap guy, plays a position that the Wild have desperately needed the entire history of their franchise, and they developed him not at all.
Yeah.
How screwed are the Wild? How worried should we be about taking this group of young players who's really good and entrusting them to a staff who apparently can't develop them at all?
I would say, again, not to be devil's advocate, but Rossi.
How do we pronounce it? I don't know.
It's everybody's now on the Rossi train, so I'm going to hop on that.
Rossi?
That's fine. I don't.
All right, that's fine.
He's, as you said, he struggled with Minnesota, but he played he played very well for Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear what you're saying, John, but he did go down there and play very well. So the knock against him has been strength, which, you know, how a coach at Iowa, I don't know how you're just going to magically, short of hiring Barry Bonds, which would be, and I don't think he's moving to Des Moines. Maybe.
Call me crazy.
I don't know Barry very well. I don't think he's moving to Des Moines. You know, short of David Ortiz or Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens walking in that door, he's not just going to magically in one season gain the strength that they're looking for. It's going to that. Right. And in hockey, you don't gain strength during a hockey season. You don't, you lose strength. You gain it in the off season. So it sounds like he's sticking around in the Twin Cities. He's going to, he's not going back to Austria. He's just going to work on getting stronger and faster. And that's all they're asking him to do. But his success, that is something I was watching for in Iowa, is how, what were they going to do with him? Are they going to turn him around? And he had a ton of success down there. So in that sense, did they develop him or not? I don't know. I mean, because then he came back to Minnesota late in the season and didn't do a damn thing. And I think they were begging him to. I think like that fourth line center role that what's his nuts took.
They really did not want to have to play Sam Steele.
Sam Steele, they didn't want. They really didn't. They were like, Rose, take this goddamn spot. We were fucking handing you this thing. And he didn't. And he just didn't.
They're sitting there with the magnets on the board just trying to fit any. Like, who else do we have? Is there anybody else?
Jesper
Wallstedt ever played center?
I don't know how old Rossi is. He's young 20s. He's not very old.
He might not even be 20 yet.
I don't even know. I mean, my point is, in three seasons, he just, for doing nothing, he's going to be get man muscles. He's going to, you know, just get, just from not being a teenager and being older, he's going to get stronger. And then they're just going to have him work out, just be a workout fiend. And it sounds like work ethic has never been an issue with him. So if they tell him just get bigger and stronger, and he's still recovering from that COVID scare that he had and lost a lot of weight and strength there, that's the kind of guy, if he was playing in Iowa and like not figuring it out and not scoring and not doing anything, I'd be like, oh Jesus, this guy is really a bum. but the ceiling, it seems to me, is there because the issues are size and strength due to a sickness, which it will take a couple of years to recover from. So that's why I'm not as pessimistic. Now, that being said, he is far behind some of the other centers that were picked behind him. But that's not really what we're talking about. We're not talking about, in retrospect, what should have they done. We're talking about moving forward. Are they screwed? And I'm trying to say, and I'm not so sure with him. I think he could be a guy that could, unfortunately, it might be like three seasons from now. But on the other hand, that might be fine because they're not going to be out of this cap hill for two seasons. So maybe that's okay. That's his breakout time.
Yeah. And it's not just, Rossi. Sorry. I'm going to have the rest of his life. I'm going to be calling him. I mean, how long did we all pronounce Mikael Granlund's name wrong?
I'm not saying
how many times did I pronounce Rick Adelman's name wrong? I'm not even sure I pronounced it right this time. That did sound like, you know, Doc Emrick was just screwing with everybody. Oh yeah, I talked to him. Granlund.
Mm-hmm. Sure you did.
But it's not just Rossi, it's Addison went from like being the hope of the future to they might trade him this offseason because they're so down on him right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at all of these guys they have, and I guess Jesper Wallboard is a little bit different because he's a goalie and nobody knows anything about goalies. But
sure.
For the rest of the guys, you got guys like Adam Beckman, who he has been a top prospect in Iowa for 15 years now. He's 36 years old. He's scored more AHL goals than anybody else. I'm worried about the plan going forward to turn all of these prospects they have. And apparently they have a million. They have a bunch of guys in the Swedish league. They've got a bunch of guys in Russia. They've got all these guys, but can they turn, do they have the structure in place and the organizational structure to turn those guys into the team of the future?
That's really interesting. I agree. It will be interesting, and I will be really interested to see who they hire in Iowa.
Yeah.
Will it be some guy with a track record of developing young players, or will it be like Tortorella? Jesus. Just go the opposite way.
The new coach of the Iowa Wild, Barry Melrose.
What are you doing?
Why would you do that? This is such a bad idea.
Yeah.
All right. Another thing to be concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
Dean Evason, I think, would probably beat every other NHL coach in the league if there was a fight.
Mm-hmm.
But every one of them he would lose to if he's coaching against him in a playoff series.
Rod Brindamore, he might have trouble.
That's not
a sanctioned wrestling match. I think
that's not a good match.
Got him by about 40 pounds. But
Brindamore is the only coach who spends more time in the weight room than any of his players.
he's a maniac. But
He looks like a wrestler who's now, when they announce him coming to the ring, all right, dude, weighing in at 453 pounds, 6'3", Rod Brindamore.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but the point of Evason's lost four consecutive playoff series now. Mm-hmm. Every year he's been coaching the Wild, he's managed to lose the playoff series, and he's done it in a whole bunch of different ways that all feel the same way. The last 2 years, he's done confusing things with goaltenders. Their special teams have been garbage in one way or another both of the last two seasons. And the other thing, and this is something I was going to touch on a little bit, their best players are not their best players in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And the reasons, everybody goes through and they give the reasons of, well, this guy was matched up with this other defenseman or whatever, but it always removes Evason from the equation. Like, well, there's nothing the coach can do about matchups. There's nothing the coach can do about anything. So my question is, this is not so much a how screwed are they, but how much faith do you have in Dean Evason?
I think I have a ton of faith in him as a regular season coach. I think
Right. Considering
the roster they have and that the cap space issues they have, that he can produce 100-point seasons with these teams. I do think very specific, and that's just a general statement, and it doesn't really, I guess, whenever I hear statements like that, I think, what are the details behind that? What makes him a good coach? Just saying, well, he coached him to 100-point-plus season. What does that even mean? What did he do to make them good? I think this last offseason, everybody identified special teams needs to get significantly better. PK and PP need to get significantly better, and they did. I don't think anybody expected them to go from 30th to 2nd in the league, but they went from 30th to the middle of the pack. That's a pretty remarkable jump in a season. So they spent the offseason identifying ways to get better at a very specific thing, and they pulled it off. To me, that is good coaching, right?
Right.
But then when the playoffs come, again, looking at very specific things in the kind of the postmortems that I've heard of the playoffs, I don't know that I've heard enough about the remarkably poor decision to start Fleury game two. I've heard about the PK, but it happened so early in the series. People have kind of let it go. And I'm like, no, that was a pretty big and pretty stupid thing. It shouldn't just be lumped in with, oh, the penalty kill fell apart. Well, no, the penalty kill fell apart because their two best penalty killing forwards are gone. Mason Shaw and Eric Sneck. Mm-hmm. Now that's not coaching. That's just, look, Fred Goudreau's not as good at killing penalties as Eric Sneck. He's just not. That's, I'm sorry. I think it's funny.
We rip on Fred all the time, but no matter what the situation is, we could say, listen, Fred Goudreau is just not as good at whatever we're talking whatever about as yes. the name of another player. He's just not very good at the power play, the penalty kill.
I'm not trying to give Dean a pass on that. All I'm saying is he can't control Erickson Ek getting hurt or Shaw getting hurt.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Those are something that you overcome. I mean, you can try to coach past that, but it doesn't take away the fact that you just lost a significant amount of talent. Right. The decision to sit Gustafson and play Fleury game two, that's on the coach. 100% entirely on Dean Evason. And there was no justification for it. And it didn't work out. And it killed Gustafson's momentum for the rest of the series. So he had this remarkable performance game one, and they sat him. And then nobody's talking about, they're talking about the PK and how Gustafson needed to make more saves. And I'm like, does anybody forget how fucking amazing he was game one? And then they benched him? Like, and they thought that there'd just be no mental impact on a young player for that to see. Like, that was just going to be, no big deal. Shruggy guy emoji. Oh, it happens. No, that was by far the worst coaching mistake of the series.
Right.
And we're just kind of lumping it in with PK and the PP dissolving and all these other. No, those are things that losing players to injuries impacted those other things. The goalie decision was purely on the coach. So,
right.
My faith in him to overcome those things, I don't know, John. I mean, he's not a young man, but he certainly is an inexperienced head coach in the NHL relative to these other guys. These other guys are recycled through about 15 teams before they ever win anything.
Right. But I mean, it's not like this is his first year. He's been an NHL coach for 4 years now.
I'm not making excuses for him. My point is, you're asking for, is there faith? Well, maybe there is an unknown ceiling with him because he is relatively new to the position at the NHL level. So maybe I could see where he could get better and learn from some of these just remarkably bad decisions. But I thought it was a bad idea at the time. I still think it was a bad idea. I think everybody did. And it changed the entire direction of the series. So
it's amazing, given what happened with what they did with the goaltenders last year during the playoffs. The Talbot was playing pretty well. Then they decided to just go with Fleury just because they wanted the Fleury thing to work. And then it blew up in their face. The fact that he went back and did it again,
it's insane.
Everyone was insane. Like, you know, the one thing, if he's learned anything, he won't screw with the goaltenders. And it took him one game to be like, you know what? Marc-Andre Fleury, spoiler alert, won a Stanley Cup before. And if you've won a Stanley Cup, that means that you're a great goaltender forever. I mean, I don't, is Ken Dryden still alive? They could
Ken Dryden. Mike Bossy, you know, they need four. Let's bring him back too.
That's right.
He's
got his name on the cup a bunch of times.
Oh, my Brian Trottier. Let's just keep bringing them all back. They all got their name. Yeah, if, just because past decades ago success Stanley Cup championships just don't mean much to me. But
yeah,
that scares me that these unforced errors. I don't know where they come from, but maybe right. He'll learn from them.
I don't know. I got one more reason that they're screwed, and right. I sort of touched on it before, but if you had to pick out their best players, you would have or certainly their highest paid players. You've got Kaprizov, you've got Boldy, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jared Spurgeon on defense, mm-hmm. Jonas Brodin yeah. on defense. Mm-hmm. All of those guys mm-hmm. were bad in the playoffs this year. No. Kaprizov, on the one hand, I'm a little willing to give him a pass because he was their only decent forward last year in the playoffs. He had what? 7 goals in 6 games or something like that. Mm-hmm. Boldy, this is 2 years in a row that he's completely disappeared. He didn't score a goal in the playoffs. I was telling my friends that we should start calling him Matty Ice because he disappears when it gets warm out. But at the same time, he's also 21 years old. I think Boldy's 21. 22 maybe. Yeah,
21 sounds right. Didn't he turn 21 in Nashville this season?
Yeah, maybe. He's exceptionally young. He's exceptional for a guy who's played in the league for a year and a half now or whatever.
Yeah,
he's exceptionally young. So I think it's a little bit unfair to go after him. But even a guy like Spurgeon sort of gets written off because he's 5'2" or whatever. And every year, day in, day out in the regular season, he's an excellent defenseman. But I feel like this is not the first time we've talked about him being bad in the playoffs.
It's not built for the playoffs. His game is not built for the playoffs. It's built for the regular season.
And so how screwed are they with a whole bunch of good players who are good regular season players who maybe are not great playoff players? And how much water is that? We talk about these individual performances, but you could go down the list, and I'm sure that there's a lot of guys who don't have Leon Draisaitl stats every year in the playoffs. You know what I mean? There's a lot of good players who have gone through series where they got 1 goal, 2 goals, whatever, and still come out with it. So are we putting too much to just the performances of a few guys?
Probably. That said, that's what the money's for. I mean, they're paid a lot to show up in May, in late April. That's what the money's for, not to show up in October. So, you know, I don't know what the answer is there, but maybe they are screwed there, because what are they going to do? Spurgeon has done it every single year. I don't know what that you're just suddenly going to hope that next year in the playoffs, if they make it, that he just turns it all around. Brodin isn't really built for the playoffs either. Now, the promise is that Faber did show up, and he's very, very young. He was arguably their best defenseman in this playoff series, and he played some big minutes. So these younger guys did show some promise in that sense. But then you look at the forwards, none of the younger guys really showed up. I think their best I'm sitting here trying to think of who their best forward was this series. And you know who I think it was?
Who?
Marcus Johansson. I really do. I mean,
who's signed for next year now?
Now they got him, which is a good thing. But tell me who else would even be on the ledger? Like who would?
Yeah. Who's even in that race?
Give me somebody to argue about. Like who?
The most noticeable one was Marcus Foligno, but that's just because he was running around the ice and challenging people to cage matches.
That
was
good, and I don't blame him for that either. I actually think he showed a lot of restraint. I think I'm the only person on the planet that thinks he that commends him for
literally the only person who's like, you know, Marcus Foligno really kept it together in these playoffs.
I'm the only person who believes that. Absolutely, I think Nobel Peace Prize. Congressional Medal of Honor.
Did he win a Pulitzer? Those just came out. I think he might have won a Pulitzer Prize.
Pulitzer, what's the for children's books?
The Newbery Medal. The Newbery Medal.
All of it. Give him all of them. I was impressed. that he didn't, you know,
this is
tear off the
ref's
head.
This is the kind of perspective. This is the kind of perspective you need. Like, sure, he took a lot of penalties, but he didn't stab anybody with a skate.
Should he? Absolutely, the refs deserved to have their heads cut off and paraded around the stadium like a Roman soldier. So for that, I do commend him.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it that way, I think Foligno's in the conversation for best forward performance. All right, well, you know, I do want to read one other Bill Guerin quote to you.
Oh no, and okay.
There's sort of a long paragraph where he said something like, it'd be awesome to get to the second round, but that's not what we're building towards here. I think that's your narrative. He's talking to the media. That's what you guys write about. We're trying to build something bigger to that. But the one I want to focus in on is they're not going to put our name on the Stanley Cup to get to the second round.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, that one made me mad because it's not like it's nobody's saying that, Bill. Nobody's saying, well, if you just win a playoff series, then it'll be a success. But I can't help but notice that you can't get your name on the Stanley Cup without winning a playoff round.
I think if he had it to do over again, he wouldn't have said it that way. I think I think what you're saying is he's trying to say we're trying to build something bigger, which is what he said. And it's being parsed. His words are being parsed. And I don't think anybody would, confuse him with one of the greatest, the great orators of this century. Just not what
a smooth talker. Bill
that's
Guerin.
Not what he's
good. GM.
But that's not his real, he's just very blunt and very honest and says what he's thinking. And I think all of us I certainly can't, throw stones in this glass house to him.
No. Does he mispronounce a lot of things? Cause I can't believe any GM would ever do anything like that.
No, but I do think he probably regrets saying it the way and using the tone that he did. I think which I appreciate actually was that he showed a heartbeat and actually cares. I mean, some of these GMs and some of these executives and, you know, the fans care a lot. And you see these post game and postseason press conferences and it's, you know, it's like it's like they're at the muffler shop getting their car fixed. They just the conversation, it's just there's no heartbeat there. It's like they don't even care. So showing some passion at least shows that you do care, that you're invested. It's not just another day. So I appreciate it.
And the other thing I appreciate about Guerin, while we're saying good things about Guerin, is that he seems available. Like, you'll hear from him throughout the year. He, like, Quezzy with the Vikings and Tim Connelly with the Timberwolves, he had a press conference to announce the Rudy Gobert trade, and then nobody heard from him for six months. Like, you can't talk to Tim Connelly. You can't. He won't talk to you. He's
Ben Affleck just movie. He's just gone. But Bill Guerin,
the Gophers AD. What's his name? I can't even remember his name.
The Ghost of Dinky Town. Nobody
knows his name. But then what does he look like? No one's seen him before.
And I'll see on Spotify, there'll be a podcast with Bill Guerin on it. Like,
yeah,
of a bunch of guys. I'm like, who? Who?
Yeah. The Sportive with Bill Guerin.
He's just at a guy's house. Yeah. It's like he's just sitting down there next to your kid, you know, just playing Duplo blocks with your kid and just having a podcast.
I just want to say that if Bill Guerin wants to come over and play Duplo blocks with my kids, we can make that happen.
He is certainly available.
Yep. So you got to give him credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I wanted to mention a couple of non-wild things as we go through this very long, short podcast that we're able to.
Oh, no, we have gotten long, haven't we? Okay.
Which is the NHL playoffs question. Which has been the funniest of all of the early playoff exits? And I'm going to give you three candidates here. One of which hasn't happened yet.
The
Boston
winner.
Bruins, the Colorado Avalanche, or the upcoming exit for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Mm-hmm. They're all delicious. They all are fantastic. I would say Boston
yes
is the winner because of the run of success that town has had and the built up confidence they had because of how well that team played in the regular season. I think they had already looked at, okay, who from the West do we not, you know, they were already looking at West Conference matchups right. for the Stanley Cup finals. And that it was just so delicious that it just came out of nowhere and snapped their neck. In such a convincing, just yeah. quick and convincing manner. Oh,
it like was when they lost game five, everyone said, well, this isn't going to happen, is it? And then it was just a horrified stare as they just managed surgical. To blow the next two games.
Oh, it was just beautiful. Boston would be number one. Number yeah. two, I would say, is Colorado because I don't like them. I don't.
Yeah.
So that's personal. That's not just that's just personal. I don't like the Colorado team. I don't. I think they're fuckers. I think their fans are fuckers. So you know, Toronto, they're up in Canada. Like they're in the Eastern Conference. I don't like. Okay, whatever. Like Toronto hasn't really ever won much. Joe Carter, 90, like, okay, yeah. that was a billion years ago. I just don't think about the Maple Leafs that much. I'm happy that Canada hopefully will go another year not winning a Stanley Cup. I think that's
that. Pretty, I mean, overall, I love that extremely part. Funny streak.
I love that.
30 years now.
But that doesn't, that's not enough to trump Colorado and Boston.
Right. I mean, ultimately, I think it's a little bit bad that the best regular season record in NHL history immediately went out in the first round. Like if you ever wanted to make the argument that no, the NHL regular season definitely means something. It's way harder when a team wins 65 games during the regular season and then goes out in the first round of the playoffs.
It blew the-
that theory. It blew the like goalie theory. Cause I don't even remember who that goalie beat him. I don't remember who it was, but yeah. some silly name. So it blows the goaltender theory. Brad Marchand's not in the playoffs anymore. I mean, that's so great. Yeah. Like that's
getting rid
so
of Brad Marchand is always oh, positive.
God, that's just so that makes me happy. Just that on its own is number one, and then the rest of the team is number two. Then right. Colorado, then Toronto.
Yep. All right. Non wild hockey topic number two. How fixed is the NHL draft lottery?
100% fixed.
the most fixed or the most fixed ever?
There's two sides of my theory, and okay. in the green room. So there's two halves. It is 100,000% fixed. It is 0.000% fixed. It is one or the other, and I'll right. try to very quickly explain. 100% fixed because Chicago got Bedard and they don't deserve it in any fashion.
They don't even deserve to have a hockey team, never mind to get a player.
Was it almost a decade that they tried to hide the sexual assault?
Yeah.
It's not allegations. I don't. That was the word. No. That, but it's not that. It's
not an allegation. It's a thing.
It's a fact. But I'm struggling to find the correct word that's not insensitive. So yeah. So the Wild. This is, I think, what frustrates me. And there's other instances. It's not just the Wild, but the Wild are being punished. We've mentioned salary cap hell what 15 times this yep. podcast for something that was done that at the time was not against the rules.
Right.
So,
this thing that they had to get away from, this this cap recapture stuff, when they signed those contracts, it wasn't in place.
It would be like
there was no way they could have known about it.
It would be like New York throwing you in jail for having a gas stove. Like this. Okay. Well, at the time I bought it, it wasn't illegal. What the hell are we doing? But Chicago covering up the sexual assault for a decade. Here's the number one draft pick.
Yeah.
Because you're a large market and your season ticket sales are plummeting, your TV audience is plummeting. People hate your front office. They hate your ownership group. One of the largest and most proud franchises in the league is collapsing. We got to do something. Here's Bedard, even though, and they openly tanked. They by far. Yeah. openly tanked. They traded everybody of value away. No other team tanked to the level that they did, and they still got the number one pick.
They were like, they were one step away from putting out a roster of nine guys and no goaltenders.
Ridiculous.
Like, yeah.
That said, why I wonder if it isn't 0% is because Bettman had to know that if he gave it to them, everybody will know that it's tanked. Or that it's fixed.
This is the thing that I love about the NHL and fixing the draft lottery. With people talked about it with the NBA for a long time, and it's probably a real thing. But at least, you know, it was like, well, the NBA is probably competent enough that maybe they didn't do that. With the NHL, it's like the evidence, both for and against it, both points toward the NHL being incompetent. Like,
yes.
Like, you look and they go, well, they put Austin Matthews in Toronto. Well, they put Connor Bedard in Chicago. But then if you're arguing against it, you're like, they were also stupid enough to put Connor McDavid in Edmonton and put Steven Stamkos in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't have an answer for that.
But they're both, it seems like they're both evidence of the same thing. It's like, they're bad enough at fixing it that they do it so blatantly and also can't do it properly.
Well, I know we're trying to keep it short. I will tease that the next time we're all together with Broxy, I'm going to destroy him on the NBA. We talked about this in the green room. I'm going to confront him and then destroy him on the NBA being fixed, NBA draft being fixed. And I'm going to see how he defends himself because I think it's indefensible, his position.
All right. I got one more thing for you. We already said Brock Faber might have been the best defenseman for the Wild in the playoffs. Matty Nyes in Toronto is on their second line, I think. I think he was skating with John Tavares.
Go. Oh, no. Yeah, how John. In the I heck, don't know. I don't know.
How in the world did the Gophers not win a national championship?
Because those other guys are like 40. And I don't know, John. Like, this was the only thing they have in their lives was this. Now they're all, I have to go back to the fucking lumber plant. Where the Gopher guys all had their lives in front of them. I don't have a better answer than that. I don't know.
As mad as I was about the Wild losing in the first round, I think I was madder about the way the Gophers played in the last couple periods of that.
Why was the first line not out there in overtime?
No. Why? I don't know. Why?
Why is he not out there?
Why did it? Well, you got to hold on. You got to hold on to those guys for the next. They needed a. There were
I got nothing. Far more maddening. Far more. The way they played the second half of the game is inexplainable. Their lineup decisions to start overtime. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. I'm not going to. I'm done. I'm done thinking about it. I put it behind me.
Month later, I ambushed you with this.
Oh, my God.
You've got a month to get over it.
What were they doing?
Now here I am.
I didn't even get a chance. So the game is starting. I'm screaming at the television. And then they scored immediately. Like, I didn't get a chance to fully get out my screams. It happened so fast. Part of me, that's one of my biggest, what I'm most angry about is I didn't even get a chance to fully scream at the coach. It just was over. I had more to say.
Bob Motzko, you might not want to, if somebody knocks on your office door, you might not want to answer that.
You're going to sit here and you're going to listen to
every word I have to say.
Forward an hour and yeah.
What are your sources telling you on whether Logan Cooley's going to come back for next season?
Tight lipped, John.
You know, and we were texting about this before, and you said something about whether Cooley comes back, and I genuinely never considered the prospect that he might come back for another season.
I think every second that he doesn't commit to the NHL is a better sign that he's going to stay at the U.
Right.
I don't know what's holding it up. Like, I don't think he's waiting to see what dorm he gets into, or, you know, like, he's not on a waiting list or something. So what the hell are we waiting
for? Come on. I just don't want to be in Comstock Hall again. If I cannot be in Comstock, I'll stay for another year.
So what are we, you know, I don't know. What's, oh man, I hope I get into bio 103. Like, I don't think he's waiting to see his class list. So, yeah, I don't know what's holding it up, but I just get the sneaking suspicion that every day that passes, he's not signed. I mean, is a better sign for the Gophers. And then any discussion beyond that is kind of pointless, because until you find out if he's coming back, you don't really, it changes the entire dynamic of that team.
Yeah.
If he's there or not.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they're crumbled if he doesn't show up, but it changes the entire dynamic of the team if he does or doesn't.
Do you, I mean, are you up to date enough to know whether what their recruiting class for next year looks like coming in? I have no idea. I have zero knowledge.
I have some knowledge, and I'm going to hold off. Maybe that's a good pre-season.
Next time we do a hockey podcast in like October, we'll talk about that.
There's some guys I like a lot, and there's some guys I'm just scratching my head like, that guy? Really? And there's people that are super excited about it. I'm like, no, I'm not a scout, but I've seen him play, and I know what I know. But what do I know?
You know more than I do. Yeah, and that's why we're here. We're here to talk. We're just here to talk a little puck.
I don't know anything.
All right. You got anything else anymore?
That's all I got.
That's all I mean.
I got lots more, but that's not worth anything.
Well, if we were going by that rule, would we be here doing
we
this
wouldn't
podcast?
Have started? Fair enough.
Yeah. There's a reason. All right. We're out. Say goodbye.
See you, bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.